7:17 a.m. We welcome to our newsmaker line Andy Puzder, the former CEO of CKE Restaurants. He helped turn around Hardee's and Carl's Jr. when he was the CEO there, and now is the author of a book, The Capitalist Comeback, and is an advisor to Second Vote Advisors. Welcome, Andy. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be here, Michael. Thanks for having me.
So a couple things to talk about. These anti-ESG funds, exchange-traded funds, are starting to take off. Vivek Ramaswamy put together Strive Asset Management, and Second Vote Advisors has a similar fund going on. Tell us a little bit about what Second Vote Advisors is doing.
What Vivek is doing at Strive is really very different than what we're doing at Second Vote. Strive is basically taking the products that BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard offer. These are the large financial investment firms that are really pushing this ESG agenda. He's taking the same products that they have, mimicking them, and then he will vote the shares differently than BlackRock, State Street, or Vanguard would vote them on issues relating to ESG, such as net zero on climate or appointing people to your board of directors based on the race of their sex rather than their qualifications, their merits, or their character. So he would vote the shares differently. Same returns that you would get with BlackRock and same stocks that you would get with BlackRock. With Second Vote, we've taken a little different approach. We've got a couple of products that allow conservative investors to invest without offending their values, such as we have an ETF called Life, L-Y-F-E, that excludes from its investment universe companies that support abortion. So you'd have companies that are neutral on the issue, which make up about 90% of the companies in the ETF, and that about 10% lean towards supporting the pro-life position. Same. The other one is called Aegis. It's really a society-defended, what we like to call a society-defended ETF, and it's E-G-I-S is the call letters. And Aegis basically will not invest in companies that support defunding the police or support open borders or oppose Second Amendment rights. So we've got those two ETFs. We've also got another ETF coming out, which I think is very interesting for people that think corporations should be focused on making money and not trying to implement a liberal political agenda. And it's called Shareholders First. That product, we've already got an index, a Shareholders First index, which you could base a separately managed account on if you have an investment advisor. But soon we'll have an ETF that you could purchase in the public market. And Shareholders First, it basically invests only in companies that are rated neutral on political issues. So no social activism, no political activism. Companies that are focused on generating returns for shareholders on the theory that companies focused on profit will be more profitable than companies that aren't. And, many of these woke corporations are not focused on investor returns. If you look at a company like Disney, for example, I think that's the most prominent one, or Coke, they're not focused on enhancing shareholder returns. They're focused on social and political activism. And we don't think those companies are going to be as profitable. We think they'll be more profitable than the companies in these BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard products that Strive is mimicking. So, yeah, I mean, really, it's hard enough to make a profit when you focus on it. I can tell you as a former CEO, let alone when you're trying to change the world based on some leftist political agenda. So we've taken a different approach than Strive. I think what Strive's doing is great. Vivek is a good buddy, and I wish him the best. But we've taken a different approach.
So, Andy, you just said something very interesting. Are there really, were you able to find any publicly traded companies that actually focus now on maximizing shareholder profit and only maximizing shareholder profit?
Yeah, we license a rating system. There's a company out there that does a very intense social and political audit on every company in the S&P 1500. So that's the S&P 500, large cap companies, big companies, mid cap companies, S&P 400, and then small cap. And it turns out that they rate them on a scale of 1 to 5. 1 is liberal, 2 is leans liberal, 3 is neutral, 4 is leans right, and 5 is right. And it turns out that about a quarter of the companies in the S&P 500 are neutral. There are none that are 4 or 5. There are none that lean right. But about 25% are neutral. And if you go to mid-cap companies, and this is, we try and limit our investments to large and mid-cap companies with at least $2 billion in market cap. So very liquid companies, you know, what you would think of as large companies. And there are more companies that that are neutral in the mid-cap area, and there are some that actually lean right. So you can find some companies. There aren't as many as there were 10, 15 years ago, and certainly not as many as there were, you know, back in the 70s and the 80s and even the 90s. With this ESG drive by the large financial firms, BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, who own tremendous amounts of stock, they put real pressure on these larger companies to adopt these liberal agenda items. Rather than focusing on returns to investors, they focus on accomplishing this liberal agenda. We want to get away from those companies. We don't want to invest in those companies. We want to invest in companies that focus on returns for investors.
What would be an example of a company that actually is sort of neutral and focused on shareholder profit, sort of the old traditional way of how companies, publicly traded companies, should be run?
Well, none of the big ones, none of the names are going to sound familiar to you. They would be they'd be large companies that are kind of operate under the radar, because right now you need to operate under the radar if you're going to avoid being pressured to adopt these liberal policies. In fact, the CEO of Whole Foods came out, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and said, look, you know, we've got a problem here, which is that we're being severely pressured by these financial companies, BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, to adopt these liberal policies. Elon Musk came out about a month ago and said ESG investing is the devil incarnate. It's amazing how much I've been quoting Bill Maher, Larry Summers, and Elon Musk a whole lot more this past year than I ever thought I would.
The world has turned upside down.
It really has. There are voices coming out in favor of rational policies. I mean, even Bill Maher sounds rational, which just blows me away, compared to what you're hearing out of the White House and out of Washington, D.C.
Last question for you, Andy Puzzer. So today, the vacationing, legal but not legitimate, my words, not yours, President of the United States, Joe Biden, is going to take his pen out, and he's going to sign this monstrosity, that they are, in an Orwellian way, are calling the Inflation Reduction Act. What are your thoughts on that?
The Inflation Reduction Act, what a joke. I mean, this is the Biden administration's objective. Is it to solve problems? They just want to change the definition of everything. A recession isn't a recession, the way we've traditionally thought about it. Now they came out and said 8.5% inflation is actually zero inflation. Now they want to come out with a bill that will clearly increase the increase inflation. It's the same mistake they made back in March of 2021 when they passed that $1.9 trillion spending bill and inflation just surged. Well, now they're going to spend another $500 billion, and you're going to see inflation surge again. It's a typical way liberals and Democrats approach things. You come out with a big government program that creates incredible problems they didn't anticipate, and they say the solution is another big government program that will create even more problems that they're not anticipating. So this is a joke. It ought to be called the Inflation Enhancing Act instead of the Inflation Reduction Act. This is a very bad economic policy.
Yeah, exactly. Are you optimistic or pessimistic about the country's future?
Oh, well, I'll tell you better after November, but I'm pretty optimistic that we're going to see rational candidates elected in November. I think people are tired of being surrounded by this incredible crime wave that's sweeping the country, which is basic. Look, you defund the police, you're going to end up with crime. That's all there is to it. They want to be able to educate their kids without having to worry about whether they're going to be told that they should question their sexuality or adopt these other liberal policies that seem to be pushed by the teachers in this country. They're concerned about the economy. They're concerned about our foreign policy, which is a complete and utter disaster, costing lives in, American lives and lives outside of America. So I think in November we're going to see a pushback. And now you've got this FBI invasion of Mar-a-Lago, the former president's home. If we don't have a big win in November, I will be very disappointed for the future of the country. If we do have the win I expect we're going to have as Republicans, then I'd be very optimistic and looking forward to 2024 when we can change administrations and get the company back on track, get us back to where we were in 2019 prior to the pandemic, and with the economy moving forward and inflation not destroying families.
Andy Puzder, thanks so much for joining us, author of The Capitalist Comeback and an advisor to Second Vote Advisors. Please come back after the election in November, and let's see if we're optimistic then. Andy, thanks for joining us.
Happy to do so.
All right. We'll be back with more after this. This is the Tennessee Star Report. I'm Michael Patrick Leahy.